Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Well, he's one of us is here. Now the mayor is on his way. He should be here within minutes. He probably has, you know, had a meeting or some breakfast meeting or something like that. One of the stories that I'm sure that we will touch on between now and 9 o'clock. By the way, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the John Gambling Show. A happy Friday to you all. It won't be a happy Sunday, or maybe more correctly, it won't be a happy Monday morning for those of you that travel over the Port Authority bridges and tunnels, because the fares as of Sunday night are going to be going up. Easy Pass tolls to $9.50, cash tolls to $12. This has to ultimately have an impact, certainly directly on you if you're paying the tolls, but generically here on the tri-state and all of that. The mayor has now arrived here. Mr. Mayor, good morning to you.
2 minutes late. Sorry.
That's okay. Not a problem.
It's all right. No, I mean, just, I don't know why. It's just things seem to happen slower this morning. I don't know why. Up at the same time, did the same thing.
We all have that. We all have mornings like that where they seem to go slower.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I was just talking about the tolls. I'll hold off on that. Maybe we'll talk about it before we finish up here. But I have to start things off with your performance on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I thought you looked just like Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Well, you know, as a longtime member of the Screen Actors Guild, carry my card proudly in my pocket.
You've done Law and Orders before and all this stuff, right?
You know, I mean, that's you always have to have a backup career. And people say, what are you going to do when you finish this third term? Well, you know, you never know.
You think Brad Pitt might be worried possibly after your term is up?
I think that it's noted that he has not called me.
No,
I think he's just a little bit worried about that. Actually, that
was very funny.
It was funny. It was filmed a year ago. Filmed in August a year ago.
Was it really? Yeah, I mean, I knew it was filmed, obviously, in advance. And I read the story that was filmed. There was a conflict. You were supposed to go play golf with the president.
I got invited to play golf with the president, so I called up and said, can't do it. And lo and behold, they managed to change everything.
Yeah,
The amazing thing about the show, number one, it's about L.A. Where was it filmed?
New York.
Thank you very much. They need to come here to give their season a fresh start. And, you know, all these things employ, these shows just employ thousands of New Yorkers, production. But it's also carpentry and catering and all different parts of the city. Lots of people in all five boroughs and all different trades. Get a chance
was
to
it
participate.
Fun to do? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Larry David's a super nice guy. Michael J. Fox is a really nice guy. You know, suffering from Parkinson's, trying to do something about it. And he was, you know, Larry David came here to film, so I thought the least I could do was help his show. I mean, you know, sort of put it on the map and that sort of thing.
Need a little leg up.
Someone showed me a list of the Emmy nominations for Sunday night, and in virtually every big category, you not only see shows that are shot in New York City competing, but shows that are shot in New York City competing against each other. There's an enormous amount of business here.
Was your name up for an Emmy as a best contributing mayor?
I think that they've not gotten to that category yet. There's, you know, the Colbert Report versus The Daily Show versus Late Night with Jimmy Fallon versus Saturday Night Live. For Best Variety. You have four shows, all in New York. Best Drama, Broadway Empire versus The Good Wife. I went and saw The Good Wife being shot. One shot in Brooklyn and Queens. Best Comedy, 30 Rock, another show I was on, thank you very much, which is why they've been able to get through their tough seasons and keep filming. That's filmed in Silver Cup in Queens against Glee. A show that's shot in L.A., but
so you're trying to gin up a New York L.A. Emmy contest.
Where is L.A. again? No,
I got you.
Like you know, Los Angeles, a wonderful city, but film business started here, moved to L.A. A lot of it moved to Canada and to Eastern Europe. Now it's moving back to New York. One of the shows, I think, Good Wives, it was. A small building, one studio. The guy has 16 buildings with 16 different studios. and you have the big ones, and they're all expanding. It's a reason why job growth in the city has outpaced the rest of the country, because we keep attracting companies.
You've got a good
whole
set,
industries
too.
To move here.
There's a good set.
One of the shows I went to see is a show that is Australian, takes place in Australia, filmed in New York. Another one, it might be Goodwise, takes place in Chicago.
Why would an Australian company come here? I mean,
you know, you ask the question. It is not for lower costs, but it is for the talent of the people
okay.
here. This is the
services, the lighters.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying this is the intellectual capital of the world. That means, you know, the electricians are some of the best you can find anyplace. And some people, I remember Spielberg telling me one time, he said, it is more expensive. We get a lot more. And he said, when you really factor everything in, it's the right place to be. And we still have to keep building. We have to work every day because lots of places are giving subsidies. New York State has a great subsidy for the
Canadians do. That's why British Columbia has become a place to film.
Right. New York City used to. We don't anymore. Just can't fit in the budget. But what we're trying to do is to make it so attractive because of the quality of the people, and we help in permitting. And, you know, if you need a police car, we'll make sure there's one there for you. And Kathy Oliver will make sure the street is closed when you need it and that sort of thing.
All right. Well,
and the actors and actresses want to work here.
I'm sure, because there's a great after work things to do. Lots of fun and games in New York City. Let me take care of a little business, Mr. Mayor. We'll get right back to you. 15
Every time it rains, and it's from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains banners from heaven?
It's Shoo-be-doo-be. John's iPod Bumper Music Friday.
All over town.
Some of you might not remember this. One of the great singers of all time, Louis Prima.
Absolutely.
Fantastic stuff, Pennies from Heaven. If you go check it out. Go find some Louis Prima music. You're going to love it. Mr. Mayor, let's see here. Your reaction to Bob Turner out in the ninth over David Weber.
You know, you can read too much or too little into all these things, whether it was the referendum on Obama that the Republicans want to characterize it as, or just people liked one candidate versus another, or Israeli policy. I think a combination of these things. The public is not happy. Public knows there's something wrong in this country, and there is. Public does not know what necessarily, or disagrees on what, doesn't know how to fix it, or disagrees on what the fix should be. But the bottom line is they are upset, and I think you saw that back in the boomlet for Ross Perot, the boomlet for John McCain 4 years before he ran, or 8 years before he really ran, before he was the nominee. You see it in the Tea Party. That's another example of the public saying something's wrong. And I think there's nobody right here. It's both sides of the aisle, too much partisanship, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Do you think that there is something that can be done, or do we just sort of have to let this play out?
Well, there's a little bit of time in any cycle, but no, you can do some things. But you can't do it if you say, I've got to have 100% my way or the highway. Democracy doesn't work when you have extremes. Democracy is a process of people coming together, getting half of what they want and giving the other guy half of what he or she wants, and trying to structure it such that there's not a lot of pain. But even so, if there is, everybody shares in the pain as well as the benefits. And that's not happening in Washington. It just people are not willing to compromise, and compromise, which some people may say is a bad word, that's a euphemism for democracy. That's exactly what democracy is. We all come together, and nobody gets a whole loaf, but nobody gets squeezed out either.
Is there some disaster, do you think, that is going to take to trip, you know, be the tripwire on moving?
Well, yeah, economic disasters tend not to be an overnight thing. There's
right.
always something. The damage to this country through our immigration policy will last for decades. The damage to a generation that can't find jobs will go on for many, many years. There's no one event, and there's not everybody gets hurt, but we are really making ourselves have less of a future than we could have.
You read the poverty numbers earlier this week, the highest levels in 52 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
As you say, generationally, those people that find themselves at those economic levels are not instantaneously going to be better off.
No, you have a lot of kids graduating college can't find jobs. That's what happened in Cairo. That's what happened in Madrid. You don't want those kinds of riots here. But it is people that aren't sharing. And, it's tough to get a – there's no overnight solution. So you create these problems over long periods of time, and then all of a sudden everybody says, okay, let's face it today. You know, I think if you look at the president's proposals – at least he's got some ideas on the table, whether you like those or not. And now everybody's got to sit down and say, we're actually going to do something. And you have to do something on both the revenue and the expense side. And I've always thought the only ways to make it palatable is to make everybody share. Everybody should kick in a little more, and everybody should take out a little less. And when you start picking and choosing which groups do and do not, that's when it becomes unfair in a lot of people's minds. Now, you know, nobody wants to be the guy that has to kick in a little bit more or suffer, get a little bit less. But we're all in this together.
That's why I talked to Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan, this week, and some others, talking about the re-manifestation of the tax laws. I mean, to a place where the government stops picking the winners and losers by loopholes.
Well,
and,
you know, that's easy to say, and that's I think a little bit of oversimplification, because tax policy has not only is it there for to collect revenue, which we need to provide services, it's there to encourage or discourage economic activity. For example, if you want people to drill for oil in a given area, you give them a tax break to do so. Nothing wrong with that. It works. Later on, when you don't need that oil, you still have to give the tax break. That's when it gets hard to stop that thing. And so now you got a law on the books or part of the tax code that no longer makes any sense, but it goes on. And there's more and more and more of those as you go through history. It's very hard to go and rewrite everything. You can't do it with all the lobbyists and all of the negotiations and the public view. And that's not something you can do now to solve this problem. The only way thing you can do now to solve this problem is everybody pays a little more, everybody gets a little less, and
let me throw into
then
this,
we'll say down the road.
Let me throw into this discussion then the toll increases coming Sunday on the bridges. That's got it. They're huge numbers. It's got to be impact the economy of the area, though. No?
Well, it certainly will hurt. It doesn't help, and it's probably hard to measure the hurt, but it will hurt something. Certainly hurt some businesses and some people. On the other hand, if one of the bridges fall down, how would you feel about that for the economy?
Well, of course you would.
So which do you want? You know, once again, you know, it's easy to say I don't want more tolls, but we do want more bridges, tunnels, police at the
gates. See, I think the Port Authority made a mistake by saying that these dollars were being raised because of the World Trade Center. Now, I know that that's their responsibility, but I think they made a...
Well, there's lots of things they do, and, rebuilding the World Trade Center is one of them, and it helps economic activity in the entire region. That's why they built the original one back in the Nelson Rockefeller days, and, would you prefer not to? I don't think that'd be good for the economy either. So, if you want the service, somebody's got to pay for it. And it's not likely to just be the other guy.
Right.
It's going to be everybody.
But it's not everybody in this case. And I think I would say that the Manuya, this is a state issue, and I know it's not yours necessarily, but, I think maybe all of us should pay for that. You know, but a general tax.
Well, if you want to design a perfect subway system, a perfect mass transit system, you make it free. And you pay for it with a general tax on everybody that lives in the region or comes through the region. That's never going to happen. What we do is we tax everybody that lives in the area or comes through the region, and we also tax the people who use it. How do you tax the people that use it? You charge with your Metro card or you drop some quarter in the box in the old days. The Port Authority, subsidies from the state of New York and New Jersey, but also tolls. And all of these things there, you look for multiple sources of revenue, partially because every one of the groups that pays says it's outrageous that I pay. And so the way you do it is you say, okay, we'll only charge you half and the other guy will pay half. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to the Port Authority. I'm not familiar with their economics, but in all fairness, if you want them to provide services, they're going to have to get the money from someplace. And people upstate New York say, why should I pay for it? It's downstate. Okay, well, then you put some tolls on. But, you know, people have to pay the tolls, say, oh, it's not good. It does hurt economic activity. But the benefits that you get from having those revenues, jobs, building the bridges and tunnels, or the ability to get goods and services and people in and out, on the plus side. And overall, all of these programs, I guess an economist would say that it's a net plus, because our economies over long periods of time keep growing and people live better over long periods of time than they did in the past. So must be doing something right, just not any one day. And it's easy to go out and say it's an outrage. When you have a better source, let me know, and I know what you're going to come back with. You're going to say the other guy.
Exactly. So, and actually, that's not my response, as you just heard. It's everybody, not just the other guy, but everybody. 8:31, Mr. Mayor. Sit back, and let's let Joe Bartlett give us an update on the news.
On
we'll be right back.
The radio, morning, little Cheerios. Morning, Sister Oreo. Did I tell you everything is fine?
The fantastic Al Jarreau.
And Al Jarreau, you know what he wanted you to know?
No, what did Al Jarreau want me to know?
He wants you to know that Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, September 20th, is the statewide Dad's Take Your Child to School Day.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do know that. And it's done as a joint project of the Fatherhood Initiative, the Department of Education, the Department of Youth and Community Development, the Administration for Children's Services, the Human Resources Administration, and state agencies. And about 300 New York City schools are participating. But that's next Tuesday. Dads, Take Your Child to Work Day.
All right. Good thing to do. Hand in hand. Walk your kid to school if you can. Or
get
in the car.
My children are a little bit old for that.
Yeah.
I guess they still are my children. They're certainly not children anymore.
No, they're always your children. They never go away.
Yeah, I spent some time with my older yesterday. She's 31 years old. Makes me feel...
Oh, in fact, thank you for reminding me. My twin sons are 31 years old today.
Today. Did you
my
least...
My goodness.
Maybe you should pick up a phone and say, hey, you know...
Well, it's early yet. I mean, it's very early. So.
If they're still in bed.
Well, no, they're not. I know they're both up. They're both up and out. They both work.
Okay. So
both have jobs. Both making money, which is good. Happy birthday, Andrew and Bradley.
I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, too. Well, one's in Virginia. He might be listening. Congratulations on the numbers on the smoking. The smoking numbers
it's
out.
Amazing.
They said Bloomberg was crazy. They said you were crazy.
We have a life expectancy greater than the country as a whole. If you want to live longer, get your friends to move here. Today you in New York live on average 1 year and 7 months longer than you would have back in 2002. Part of that is smoking. Today we're down to 14% of adults and only 7% of teenagers. And the teenagers, if you don't smoke as a teenager, you probably will never smoke as an adult. So that really is
I was in Europe a few weeks ago, and I will tell you that they need some help over there in this department.
Yeah, I mean, they follow a lot of the places of ban smoking, but they don't follow it as rigorously. And with New Yorkers, it just catches on. People say, you know, we now have this rule you can't smoke in beaches or in parks, which did not come from the administration of the health department. It came from the public that called and started making a big fuss and wanted that rule, and the city council wanted it, and so we said, fine. And then, of course, you know, some of the reporters, well, how are you going to enforce it? Yeah, cops going to give out tickets. And then there was the next day after it went in, some reporter wrote, oh, I saw somebody smoking on a beach. There was a cop there. He did nothing. This is an outrage. It's not the way things work. You know, the public sort of pressures each other to do what's right. And, you know, you still see people smoking outside of buildings that they're not allowed to smoke inside, but it's a lot fewer than it used to be. And when you walk by, you know, a lot of them take the cigarette, hold it behind them. They're just, you know, they're embarrassed. They know it's not, and it's just not good for you.
Yeah, and people, generally people that smoke don't want to smoke. It's just that they've gotten to that point. I've been there myself, and fortunately 25 years ago I was able to stop. But, you know, I understand what that's all about. Now, they said when you said no more smoking in bars and restaurants that Bloomberg was crazy. This morning they're saying Bloomberg is crazy with the bikes, the 10,000 bikes, rent a bike next year.
It's going to be phenomenally successful. It is. In every other city that it's been done, it's off the charts, way over expectations. Boston, Chicago, you know,
you
lots of
cities. You feel right because New York is not Boston. New York is not.
No, that's right. We smoke less and exercise more. You know, you would think that it would catch on and do a lot better here. You know, our streets are straight and square, basically, in Manhattan, so that it's... bicycle lanes are easier. It's easier to see a bicyclist in Boston, where I come from. All the roads are curvy and hilly, and I would think it'd be easier here. And then you get outside of the grid that makes up Manhattan, and in the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, and Staten Island, some of these areas are much more wide open. And
congestion, cars, pedestrians.
Well, yeah, that's what roads are for. But a lot of people would argue they're not just for cars. You know, most people use of roads, they walk. You know, they're on the sidewalk. And we use a lot of mass transit. The number of people who actually drive compared to other cities is probably less. It's so dense because we're so big, but there's a lot of evidence, and it's funny, there's been a big battle in London because I think it's Barclays that have won the right to advertise on the bicycles.
And I understand this company that's been hired by the city is looking for someone like that as
Now we put an RFP out for whoever wants to buy the advertising. This is a win-win-win deal because it costs the city absolutely nothing. But we share in their profits. And in London, Barclays has been inundated by other companies that want to buy part of the rights to advertise, and they don't want to give them up because everybody looks, and it's become so popular.
The liability issue, I'm assuming there's a waiver or there isn't?
I'm sure the company has some kinds of protection of you when you agree to take it. You say, I'm going to. But, you know, listen, manufacture a bicycle, unless there's a real defect in the product, doesn't have a liability. And is it dangerous? Yeah, you have accidents, but you have accidents when you walk, and you have accidents when you drive. And in truth of the matter is, the streets where we put bicycle lanes in have had dramatically fewer accidents. The accident rate actually falls. Partially, I guess it's the way that you force the cars into lanes. And people say it slows down traffic. It doesn't. And the way you measure that is we measure the cabs. You know, a computer measures every single cab trip in this city. When the cab driver, you know, turns on the meter and turns it off, there's a signal sent to Central Taxi and Limousine Commission computer someplace. And so we know how long it took to go from A to B in the real world, not just with somebody driving it to be measuring the time. You know, they go around traffic. They have their own favorite routes. There's one day there's a water main break. Next day there's a truck stop there and they have to do something else in the real world. And so you measure thousands and thousands of trips between point A and point B, and you can see whether or not it goes up or down.
Was there a metric in the decision for 10,000 bicycles? I mean, was that number just kind of,
I think that was, you wanted a big enough sample because, it's not over all five boroughs yet.
Right, it's just Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Parts of Brooklyn and parts of Manhattan. And you wanted a big enough sample. But in a city like this, 10,000, it's a nothing. You know, we have 5 million people that take the subway every day. I mean, 10,000 is not a lot.
You were talking about taxis and GPS. I read that the taxi plan, the outer borough taxi plan, is in somewhat of
I hope not.
Conflict.
I don't think so. The taxi plan will generate $1 billion in revenue for the city over the next 2 years, which we really need because we've got a big deficit for the next 2 years. and have used up two-thirds of our reserve already for this year. So next year and the year after are going to be really tough. And also, there is no, for all practical purposes, there's no ability to hail a cab, at least certainly not legally, in the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and any part of Manhattan north of 96th Street.
The taxi industry wants the numbers cut down, the numbers of outer
there's
borough
a company
medallions.
That, there's a company that finances, owns a bunch of these medallions. And so there is a real ways to tell whether the value of a medallion is going up or down in anticipation of more.
You mean there's a market in these?
TAXI is the company. It's a publicly traded company. The stock's right near its all-time high after all this talk. There's just that's just something that, they're trying to get something for nothing. There's the yellow cabs, there's the black limos. Everybody's got their own things. That's why nobody's ever fixed these problems before. We've just got to get this done now. And, I've talked to the governor, and he was,
Have you talked to Marty Golden, who's
advocating? I've had conversations with everybody. But, the governor had said to me a long time ago, just send the bill. He understands, and he should get some credit for this, too. We're going to, together with the state, finally get some taxi service all over the city, because the yellow cabs just, with very, very few exceptions and going really just to the airports, they don't go out of Manhattan south of 96th Street. And when people get in them south of 96th Street and they want to go north of 96th Street or to one of the other four boroughs, a lot of taxi drivers say, I don't want to go there. Get out.
Two tragedies. We talked about this last week about Labor Day weekend and all the gun fire. But this little baby out in Staten Island and that Chicken Murphy, the young lady, the 18-year-old up in Morningside Heights, a feud between two. It's just idiots.
Well, on one hand, murder rates at the lowest level it's ever been within a very tiny percentage. Crime continues to come down. We measure, a given week, is it better or worse than the previous same week the previous year, because holidays and seasons have a lot, the temperature has a lot to do with how many people are on the streets, and if you have gatherings that may or may not influence it. And those statistics say things are better, but there's an awful lot of people with guns and use them. And, it is very tragic. Typically, in neighborhoods where there are a lot of people with guns, there are also a lot of victims. And the perpetrators and victims tend to live in the same neighborhoods. And so, if you could, it's very sad, and we've just got to figure out a ways to make everybody safe. And the only way you do that is get guns off the streets. And police do a phenomenal job. Not everybody likes it, because people don't like to get stopped, and people don't like to give up something they'd prefer to do. But we're in this together.
UN's in town next week.
Yep.
Big party. Means a lot of money.
It's a big part of our economy.
There is a controversy over Ahmadinejad coming and staying at the Warwick Hotel, and he's invited some Columbia students down. Is there a point, and I know this is a dicey subject, but is there a point where some bad guy is not welcome in New York?
Well, I don't know that welcomed is the right word, but you cannot have the United Nations here if you're going to tell them that they can't have one of their member states or somebody they invite. Which do you want? Doesn't mean you endorse it. Doesn't mean you like it. You'd prefer something else. But the truth of the matter is that if you want the United Nations, and we really do, this is a very big part of our economy, and I'd rather have people talk than fight. It doesn't mean they are going to say things I like. You just can't say no.
I understand that you're going to address
some of the smoking and the health stuff, which has worked here and can work around the world. Saving an enormous number of lives here. There's 450,000 fewer smokers in Europe than there were 10
years
ago.
No, I understand. It's fantastic. That's what I meant. It's awesome. We can address a few of the questions on the line. We will do that with Mayor Michael Bloomberg and you in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Mayor Michael.
Earth, Wind, and Fire on John's iPod Bumper Music Friday.
And this weekend, a special important event comes back to New York City. You know what it is?
Nope.
It's the second annual, which means the first annual, I've always said, that's optimistic, but second annual, it is an annual thing, World Maker Faire. And it takes place in the New York Hall of Science on Saturday and Sunday. And you have more than 500 crafters, thinkers, artists, inventors, entrepreneurs showing that the innovation spirit is alive.
And the weather's going to be great, and Flushing Meadow Park is as good as it gets.
It does not get any better. This is a big family event, and it's a great place to go.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's go to Frank in Manhattan, start things off here. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you about these police officers that participated in that ridiculous dancing at the West Indies Day Parade.
Well, I'm sure our police commissioner wasn't thrilled when he saw the paper. Neither was the mayor. Inappropriate, I suppose. Maybe they just got a little bit carried away. You know, the cops try to participate in the sense of being nice men and women and, you know, laughing and joking and keeping their eye on things and keeping us safe, but also making people understand they're real people, too, and not just some gruff cop standing there. This whoever did this, I'm not even sure we know who it was, but inappropriate. And my answer was, Ray's going to handle it. But if I were him, I would, if I could find out who it was, I'd give the person a dressing down and say, get back to work.
Yeah, get back to work and don't do it again.
You know, it isn't the world's worst. It's sort of... It's not stupid, it's dumb. It'd be a nice way to phrase it.
All right, Julie, you've got the mayor's ear. Go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I know that you're in favor of us using public transportation from the suburbs, but I want to say that we have no place to park. We do not have a local rail station, and the neighboring towns are filled up. So my question really is, parking garages in New York are not required, and they should be required, to post the rate that is in effect at that time of day.
I know. I've heard other people
You're talking about
this.
In the city or in the suburbs?
In the city.
There are rates that are up on the wall. When I've looked at it, it's hard to figure out which rate is in.
I think that's what you were questioning. Also, out front, they put rates that are in effect in the middle of the night that actually don't reflect.
That would be an outrage. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they would do that. Julie, I think you're right. I'm going to mention it to our commission that worries about Jonathan Mintz and his commission. Consumer affairs.
You got a tweet there?
I do. The question is, what are you doing to make housing more affordable and more stable in New York City? And the answer is, we're spending something like $8.4 billion on the largest affordable housing plan in the nation, 165,000 units for 500,000 New Yorkers. That's more people than live in Miami. We've completed 75% of them or something, 125,000, that's more than 75%, already done. Three-quarters of them are for low-income New Yorkers and a quarter for middle-income. And we're opening up new neighborhoods across the city to provide space for new housing, the Hunters Point South and the Hudson Yards and Willits Point. There'll be housing in those neighborhoods as well.
Those are actually built by private contractors, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, the city's not in the business of building housing.
Right.
We find ways to finance it or to encourage people to do it. So, for example, if you want to build a big building, we'll let you build it a little bit bigger, change the zoning laws, and let you build a little bit bigger if you put in some affordable housing. And it's that kind of incentive. It makes sense for everybody.
And there are developers that are anxious to do this.
Absolutely. We've done 175,000 so far.
All right. Mr. Mayor, the traveling music is on right now. Time for you to travel, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Can't wait.
Have a good
All
week.
All the best.
Thank you very much. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show.